Our theme this summer is water, and today we look at this cup of water that one can give. We call it a cup of mercy. We're extending God's mercy. So today I want you to know that I'm preaching to myself mainly, and this is one of those occasions where I invite you to listen in. I think it's something we all can relate to, because Jesus' words are challenging. He always challenges us. In the passage from Matthew 25, it is also a warning. It is something that it should move our hearts. If it does not, then I think it means either that we have just simply not listened to Jesus, or we have not understood him, or that there are layers of callous on our hearts that we need to pray to have removed. Because these words are very challenging. But inside of here is also the heart of the gospel in our call to do what Jesus wants us to do. Now, in the passage that Don read from Matthew 10, and then here in Matthew 25, Jesus talks about water that is being given to someone. It's used as an example, because as I shared with the kids, that was something very tangible for the people back then. They needed water, and it wasn't convenient for them. And it is also a symbol of any act of mercy. There's a lot of different acts of mercy, and in chapter 25, which we're going to read, there are a few other examples. So we're talking here about water, a cup of mercy, but extending it out into any act of mercy that God calls us to. Jesus' words, as they challenge us, are always meant to draw us closer to the heart of God, to the will of God, and to deeper, richer faith, so that we experience more and more of God. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "When the Son of Man," referring to himself, "comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In this passage that is looking towards the final judgment, Jesus is really talking about our extending mercy to people as we too have received mercy. And that's part of the gospel, is that we have received that mercy and now we extend it. It's clear from this passage that this is not something that's optional. It's the final judgment. There are two directions that we can go. We can either be on his right side, the blessed side, that of priority, and then go into his kingdom, or on the left, separated for a final judgment. And eternal punishment is what Jesus says. So it's not something optional. There's nothing in here that's an easy way out. And Jesus is very, very clear about this. And we see here a picture of faith that arises from us receiving mercy. We look at verse 34, and he's speaking now to those that are receiving the kingdom, and he says to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father." So God's blessing has come first. You're blessed by the Father. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This is something that God had prepared beforehand, already been at work, and this is echoed by the other writers in the New Testament, that God has prepared these things before the foundation of the world. His mercy came to us before we even existed. And as his mercy has come to us first, we respond to it with faith. And so he's looking here at those who responded to that mercy with faith. They are the ones who are blessed. They have God's favor. And it is something, this faith that we have, a matter of the heart. So it could be very easy to read this passage and see it only in light of works and not faith. These are the things you do. You go out, and those who are without food or clothing, or they're in prison, or they're naked, or whatever, you just do for them. But Jesus is making it clear that it is responding to God's mercy. It's faith, and it's a matter of the heart. We see that in verses 37 through 39. It's beautiful what happens. Jesus says to these people, "Here's what you did to me." And they respond back with, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison, or visit you?" There's surprise there. There's surprise that was, Jesus was referring, "You did it to me." And that surprise comes because they had a heart to do it. It wasn't something that they calculated to do, that I must do this. It's just a matter of cold obedience. But it came out of the heart, very natural. And so our faith and our extending mercy is a matter of the heart. In the end, there are two destinations. Jesus makes this very clear. It's either that grand inheritance, receiving the kingdom that God prepared for us beforehand, or it is to go away into eternal punishment, into the place where God has prepared for the devil and his angels. So, two places, Jesus, he gives this warning. Now, anytime we see these warnings in Scripture, it's not meant to be the hellfire and damnation sermon. It's meant just to be a warning with the mercy of God being held out. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, embrace God's mercy and let your faith Develop that heart so that you are merciful in this way. So we see the gospel right here in what Jesus is saying. We also want to understand something about the recipients of mercy as we extend it, and the priorities that Scripture sets up. Because Scripture does put these priorities here, it's not something that I'm making up or other people have made up. It's important for us to pay attention. The first thing for us is to understand this passage and its context. And when Jesus says in verse 40, it says, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." The context here, what he's saying, when you've done it to these who are my brothers, and he's pointing over to the sheep that are there, and he's saying, you've done it to other believers. You've done it to the righteous, those who are called, those for whom God has prepared his kingdom. As you have done it unto them, you have done it unto me. So there is this calling, this priority of being merciful to those who are believers, to one another, to attending to one another's needs. Now, looking at this passage and then embracing out all the teaching of the New Testament, there are three what I would call historic wrong turns in interpreting this passage. There might be more, but for me they boil down to three wrong ways to look at this. One of them arises out of what we would call 19th century liberalism. Towards the end of the 19th century, there was this view among some theologians that it was then called liberalism. They titled themselves that. And they viewed the gospel, kind of condensing all the Bible down to, and it wasn't politically correct language, but it was then, I guess, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And we're called to follow Jesus' example. He did good, we do good. That was the gospel. We just make the world a better place. And so that was 19th century liberalism, and they talked about social justice. We're to be involved in social justice. Well, another wrong turn is those who look at this passage only and limit mercy that we extend only to believers in terms of doing good things for them. And they fail to look at other passages as well. The third is neglecting to do mercy. And this was an overreaction to 19th century liberalism and forgetting historic Christianity, which historic Christianity before the 19th century pretty much had it right. And we'll get to that in a second. But the overreaction to just Jesus was an example for us and we do social justice, we just make the world a better place, was to say, no, we're to do evangelism. We're to share the good news. We're to bring those who are dying into the life of Jesus and not this social gospel stuff. Overreaction. We could say it's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's just there wasn't the balance. Historic Christianity had the balance. It says that we bring the good news of Jesus Christ and we do so through our words, calling people to repent, and through our actions, extending mercy. The biblical priorities, as we extend out into the rest of the New Testament, are found that we're called to extend mercy, which means doing things for people, extending ourselves with the acts that we do, with the way we use our resources, our money, our time, whatever it might be. It begins in the home. It's with family. Jesus talked about this in Mark chapter 7. He's saying to a group of people who, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, religious elite, who has traditions and taken the traditions of men and pushed aside the commandments of God. He said, God's commandments say to honor your father and mother. And they had this little tricky maneuver of dedicating some of their resources to the temple, but they got to hold on to them until they died. And they weren't taking care of their aged parents. And Jesus challenged them with strong words. You pushed aside the command of God for your own traditions. It's wrong. So the call there to take care of family. We see it also in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And the context there is with widows. And Paul is saying that if we don't take care of our own family, we're worse than unbelievers that don't even understand mercy. So family is a priority. We don't want to neglect the needs of our family. And then we run into then passages like this, where it's saying other Christians, whether it be in Matthew 25, where Jesus very clearly says, as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you're called to do it to those who are in the community of faith. Or in Matthew 10 that Don read, that whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple. Now, who is the disciple? It's referring back, it's to the person that you're giving that cup to, because he says, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. So we're extending this cup of cold water to a disciple. It's a priority, making sure that within the community of faith that basic needs are met. We're extending mercy to one another. In the early church, the reputation that they had amongst the rest of the population, they might not have liked Christians. Sometimes they misunderstood them, and they thought that when they were celebrating communion, that as they talked about eating the flesh and drinking the blood, that they were involved in cannibalism. There were some that believed that. But most of the people could look at them and see how they loved one another, how they took care of each other. And that was a priority that was established through Scripture. We see it also in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, for God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake, for the sake of God, in serving the saints as you still do. So that Jesus and the other writers that are there in the New Testament are saying that we need to attend to one another. Extend mercy, however that may be, meeting the physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, but there is a great priority here. But it doesn't end there. The New Testament continues on to talk about extending mercy to others and to do good when we can. Now, in Matthew, and to stay with Jesus' words because they're powerful, in chapter 5, he's giving the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's no specific direction given on who that mercy is to. So it is just a general mercy that is given. And then in the end of chapter 5, Jesus is talking about loving our enemies. Not just others around us, but our enemies. And He's saying that we shall love them. And then it has this general mercy of God. It gives the reason why we're to do that. And Jesus says, for he, the Father, makes his Son rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So we're to be merciful to anybody, including our enemies, because God's mercy, a general sense of mercy, is out there for everyone. We follow God's mercy. And then in chapter 6, Jesus talks about giving for the needy. And he says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Again, there is no stipulation on who that needy is. So it is still a priority in Scripture for us to see the needs of the people around us, whether it be in our neighborhood, the extended community, our nation, the world, because we are very much a global community now. We see these needs and we respond with the fullness of the gospel, with bringing the words of a call to follow Jesus and follow up with the actions of extending mercy, however that may be. We do that again because we have received mercy, and through faith, we want to develop that heart that it just naturally flows, that we extend mercy and give that cup of cold water or whatever else it might be. Now, I want us just to, for a moment, just to look at some practical application for this for us. And you can add more and more things yourself. In the end, we're called to look at Scripture. We're called to pray for the Spirit to make us sensitive. But one of the ways that we do fulfill what Jesus is calling us to do is through the ministry of the church. So when you're giving to the church and money goes into missions, the mission committee has been very diligent to be holistic in its approach of choosing missions. And if there are some mission projects that emphasize more of spreading the gospel with evangelism as its emphasis, then there are others where it's more of meeting people's basic needs. So we do give to the rescue mission, and we know that that is meeting some very basic needs as well as preaching the gospel. I mean, so we're involved in these type of ministries. And ministries, support one that is reaching out to women who have become pregnant and but don't have any resources. They don't have a husband. They are taking that baby to full term, perhaps giving the baby up for adoption. They're working through all the different issues, but they need someone there to help them because they have no resources. And what does the culture around say to do for women who are in that position? They just tell them simply either go have an abortion or go and receive public assistance. Jesus has a better way, and we help support a ministry that can do that. That's extending that cup of mercy. So we're involved in various ministries here, and that's a great thing. We also have some ministries where we're also on the front lines a little bit. Most of it's through the deacon ministry, but anybody can be involved in it and welcome to say, hey, I'd love to volunteer. But we have a clothing bank, and Trudy has been spearheading that recently. It was started by Marion Ward, and then we're just trying to expand things out. There's a great event that's going to take place in September, inviting the schools, the parents to come and get clothing for free for their children, those that can't afford it. Now, can I go ahead and spill the beans what's going to be in the newsletter? Okay. So what's going to be in your newsletter next week is a call for us to do something very tangible. For a lot of people who are in need of clothing, they need underwear. And a lot of these folks don't have access to laundry facilities on a regular basis or can't afford it as most of us can. And so they tend to wear all of their clothing a little bit longer than they should, and it doesn't last as long. Undergarments, undershirts, underpants for both girls and boys are very much needed. And so, you know how during Christmas time we have the tree out there where we can put socks and mittens and things on? So there's going to be a box out there in the entryway where you can bring brand new, so we're asking for brand new, underwear for children. It's kindergarten through high school, right? So boys and girls, if you'd like to shop. And if you're not able to shop, or if you think that Trudy can do a better job shopping, and you just want to give a monetary, I shouldn't say just, if you want to give a monetary gift to that, then the envelopes that are in the pew racks, you can simply put a check or some money in there and just say deacons on there. And we'll know that it's for this special deacons project. That's a way that we all can be involved in extending mercy to someone who is in need. And as they're receiving that, they're knowing that it's coming from Christians, that there is a God who cares. And so there's a way we can be involved. We've also been involved with a food bank here. And the congregation has been incredibly generous over the years with bringing food or money so that people who are in need in the community, and again, we work mostly with the schools, but not exclusively, they can receive sufficient food to last them over a good long weekend or almost a week. And then also the backpacks, which have just some emergency food to take these kids through a few extra days. So these are some very tangible ways through the ministry of the church, whether it be those or what the mission committee is about. And then next week, you have a minute for mission, and it's talking about another ministry there that is being supported through the women's ministry. I mean, there's a lot of things that are wonderful ways to express mercy to those around us. Now, another way, is, and most of you are doing this anyway, is support other ministries or missions that are doing this type of thing, that are holistic in their approach. They're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ as they are perhaps digging a well in a foreign country to bring fresh water to somebody who doesn't have it. Or whatever the ministry is that God puts upon your heart. The only thing that I would say is be discerning. Maybe do a little bit of research about them, because it's so easy for bogus ministries to exist out there, to get a nonprofit status, to put up an incredible website and claim to do all kinds of things. So be discerning through your prayers and through your checking ministries out. But when God lays something upon your heart, then my encouragement is go for it. And then the most challenging thing for us is for us to pray each day for God to bring people into our path, into our lives, that we can minister to. And we don't know what that might be. It might be someone who is incredibly anxious and just a calm spirit, maybe praying for them or just saying, hey, it looks like you're having a hard day. Just want to let you know. You know, God loves you, and anything I can do. I'm trying to remember who it was. It's in my memory. Someone was sharing the other day that they're in line, let's say at a grocery store, Home Depot, and there's someone behind them who's just kind of fidgety. They'll just say, oh, here, why don't you go ahead in front of me? That simple act, as a person says thank you and gets there, they begin to calm down. We don't know if they're pressed for time. You know, there could be something they have to get to that is going to impact somebody else's life in a great way. So a small little act of mercy like that could have incredible consequences out there. Or it might be as we kind of bring it down to that cup of water, the cup of mercy, you might want to carry some bottled water with you in your car. Or Peggy and I decided, and part of it arises out of looking around at the number of young people who are homeless, and a lot of it is because of drug addiction. We decided that we're going to carry little McDonald's cards because McDonald's are around everywhere. Little gift cards, $5. And if someone is in need and they say, can you spare some money for hamburger, we can say, here. And we know we're not giving cash so they can go out and do something wrong with it, that they're going to have to go use it at McDonald's. So there's little things that we can do to extend mercy out to someone that have eternal consequences for them and for us. And we seek that grand inheritance where Jesus says, the righteous will go into eternal life. We come, we are blessed by the Father, into the kingdom that is prepared for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy, and we pray that you would each day fill us more and more with your mercy, and we would understand it, that it is not something we deserve, but we have just received it from you, and that you would help us to understand how to extend that out to others around us. We pray in the name and to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.